shot, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia!
Ronaldo Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran, and he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise, La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody to the show. Hoping you are staying safe and dry as the Daspit Law Firm presents, as usual, Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We're following the popular blitz with Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and Aaron Raybould, who is going to hang out and, of course, now produce our show. Throughout the night, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook Soccer Matters, that's our shameless promotion. And again, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors, supported by NB Elite Realty, Lou Stalvermute. Now, we got more than we can probably fit in here tonight. This is a jam-packed show. There's so much going on in the world of soccer. We're going to try to get to as much of this as we can. So let me give you the lineup of guests tonight. We got former U.S. international Tony Meola. He's the analyst now for the Chicago Fire. He's going to join us. Dario Sala, you'll remember him from FC Dallas, played for River Plate and a bunch of teams in South America. He now has a company that represents players. He's going to come on the show. We'll talk some Tata Martino with him. We'll talk Major League Soccer with him, the bevy of talent that lies in South America. So Dario will be on the show. He gave us some great stuff last year about Tata Martino. He knows Major League Soccer up and down. Ives Galarsep of Soccer by Ives, he'll be on the show tonight. Adam Lundqvist, the Dynamo left back, who has really been a box-to-box whirlwind for the Houston Dynamo this year. Adam is going to join us from Sweden. We'll talk about his upbringing in the game. We'll talk about the new system under Tab Ramos, what it means for him personally, positionally as a left back. Ahead of tomorrow night, it is the Dynamo and Chicago Fire. So that comes from Soldier Field. That'll be on Channel 55. You can join Eddie Robinson and I for the call of that one. So big week. Last night we did the show in Austin, Texas on the Horn. You can get that podcast at hornfm.com. There's some great stuff there with Tom Marshall. All right. So throughout the show tonight, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. The number to call in. Today, Manchester United, a 3-0 win over Luton in the Carabao Cup. West Ham 5-1 over Hull in the Carabao Cup. And in the 83rd minute right now, it's Barcelona of Ecuador against Flamengo of Brazil, 2-1 in the Copa Libertadores. So there you go. A couple of updated scores there. A couple of things here. Dynamo have another schedule that's been released. But I think the big thing we have to go to here is, and I think, Aaron, you may have a soundbite of a Cristiano Ronaldo goal. And if you do, look on that rundown, and I'd love for you to run that because Juventus got a 3-0 victory over Sampdoria, Andrea Pirlo's first game in charge. But also, the big news in that game was Weston McKennie getting the start for Juventus. So here's the Cristiano Ronaldo goal. This is goal number 3 in a 3-0 win over Sampdoria for Juventus.
Well, there's Ramsey for Cristiano Ronaldo, who finally has his goal. Icing on the cake for Juve.
Yeah, so Juventus had hit the crossbar. Cristiano had hit the crossbar before that. He still is looking unbelievably fresh. He's going to score another boatload of goals this year for Juventus. But the story there is Weston McKennie. And Weston McKennie in this game was outstanding. Had a wonderful role in midfield next to Rabiot, Aaron Ramsey. He had Cuadrado on one side of him. And he's another symbol of all these young, talented players that are heading to Europe. In this game, his role is very, very defined in this midfield. Now, obviously, Juventus was in total possession of this game, had the ball. Very assured start for McKennie at Juventus. Simplified role, played very well in midfield, useful with the ball, played a part in the second goal, attacking a corner with another Juventus player, which kind of kept the play alive, and they would get a second. They win the game 3-0. He had Frabada on his left. But, you know, to see this young man at this level, not skipping a beat, looking perfectly comfortable, nowhere near any signs of being out of place, tells you a lot about Weston McKennie. Now, that's 4 years at Schalke also. So if we dig into this, you'll remember when Greg Berhalter got hired by U.S. Soccer and everybody was in a state of panic, the future of the national team, and we did come to find out that there were a lot of problems at U.S. Soccer that are still being sorted out. But I remember on this show saying, look, I'm excited about the future because it's all about the youth now. Now, because you haven't qualified for the World Cup, you've got to accelerate the youth. And now we're finding them joining monster clubs in Europe and playing. And this cycle now moving towards youth with time now has begun to, it's begun to, began to percolate. So I would say, how do you feel about it now? 713-780-3776. Never in the history of U.S. soccer have we had so many players on big clubs in Europe. Never. Pulisic at Chelsea, 22. Weston McKennie, 4 years at Schalke, now on loan at Juventus. Another young guy. Tyler Adams, goal scorer for RB Leipzig in the Champions League semifinals. Gio Reyna, 17 at Dortmund. Scored his first Bundesliga goal. Smooth like his father on the ball. Now, these are potentially the most exciting times in U.S. soccer history when it comes to projecting out in the future. And that is based on players playing, starting, and playing important roles for big clubs. Players. The future of these players in the U.S. national team is in the hands and mind of Greg Berhalter. But you can't say it's not exciting now watching these players perform at this young age in starting roles at big clubs in the top European leagues. We've waited for this. Now, the majority of these players are still workers. They're ball winners. They're essential. And they're essential for every team. And there's a market for that. And the U.S. is producing tremendous ball winners. But we are now beginning to get the Christian Pulisics, the Gio Reynas in attacking roles, which is intriguing. And that's before we talk about Sergiño Dest, likely going to go to Barcelona now. Now, does this help us get mainstream coverage here in the U.S.? The fact that Pulisic is on Chelsea, Reyna is on Dortmund, McKennie is on Juventus. I mean, we got him spread out in all of the top leagues in Europe. Tyler Adams at RB Leipzig, Champions League. You'd think there'd be more press. There's a bit of a hitch in this supposed deal that is expected to be pulled off between Mateo Bahamic from Instituto in Argentina. All of a sudden, reports coming out of Argentina that Sunderland is back in the picture now. So I don't know where that's going to go, but there was a real strong rumor that Bahamic was coming to the Houston Dynamo. You can find things on Twitter and online. A lot of people talking about that. So that's one to keep an eye on. I don't think there's any question there. So over the weekend, Liverpool 2-0 winners over Chelsea. Sadio Mane with a brace. Thiago getting the debut. Spurs 5-2 over Southampton. Son hitting for 4. By the way, all assisted by one person, Harry Kane. So Son becomes the 28th player in Premier League history to hit for 4 goals or more. Gareth Bale also on the way, by the way, to Spurs. Arsenal 2-1 winners. Things continue to look good for the Gunners under Arteta. Wolves Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, probably not happy. They went down 3-1 to Manchester City. Raul Jimenez, though, scoring a goal in that game, continues to be a huge piece of Wolves. De Bruyne, Foden, Gabriel Jesus for Manchester City. Manchester United lost 3-1 to Crystal Palace over the weekend. I mentioned today, though, that they were winners in the Carabao Cup over Luton. Donny van Beek had United's only goal in the loss to Palace. And, of course, all of a sudden what comes out? It's time for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He can't carry us. He's not good enough. And he only took you to third place in Champions League money last year. Crystal Palace got goals from Zaha, too, and Townsend. And then the Serie A, we mentioned, also opened up this past weekend. So, lots of very interesting stuff going on in the world of soccer. On Thursday, I watched Austin FC's signings, Rodney Redis and Cecilio Dominguez, playing for Club Guarani of Paraguay in the Copa Libertadores. This past Thursday, they played Tigre. They were 4-1 winners. Dominguez came off the bench in the second half. He would score with the score 1-1, and then he would go into the box, draw a penalty. He went down rather soft, got up, converted the penalty, and then he had an assist. In 23 minutes, he changed the game. They got a 3-1 win. Rodney Redis is a guy that kind of runs the channels, can get into the box as well. Now, what I noticed about Cecilio Dominguez, Cecilio Dominguez set up Edgar Benitez also. He's interesting, though. At some point, he'll look like that traditional, you know, Juan Riquelme type 10, getting the ball to his feet, funneling it on to people. But then all of a sudden you'll see the guy make a 25-yard sprint and try to get on the end of a cross and throw himself at something at a near post. So he's going to be interesting, but he's their designated player. The pressure's on him to produce in Austin. Look, the good times are going to be there in year one. No matter what happens, just playing soccer games up there, it's going to go through the roof. I'm interested to see how it affects the dynamics of competition, pride, bar being set higher with the Dynamo FC Dallas and Austin FC. But, man, it's great to get another team in Texas. It's only good for everybody. I don't think there's any question about that. All right. Wednesday is a big day in Major League Soccer, no question about that. And then I wanted to talk to you about the changing ways of MLS. And this goes along with what we just mentioned there about Cecilio Dominguez and Rodney Redis, the Paraguayans that are ending up in Austin, Texas. Major League Soccer has turned into a very, very youthful league now. And we all know this. It is a buying and selling league. Made a list of some of the players, and I read this list out last night on the Austin show. I'm going to do it here in Houston. Here are some of the talent that's coming in that essentially are being brought to these teams or being developed in the case of one or two that are the game changers. And every team has game changers now. Lucas Elarayan at Columbus, number one team in the league, 4 goals, 3 assists. Alan Pulido, Sporting Kansas City. Andreas Requarte up in Dallas had that slashed in volley against us and the Houston Dynamo. Emmanuel Reynoso, we see him coming to life for Minnesota United, doing differing things. Had that ridiculous ball that led to one of their goals. Darwin Quintero, older, 5 goals, 6 assists, being managed beautifully. Nicolas Ladero, older, 2 goals versus LAFC in a 3-0 win, game changer. Sebastian Blanco went down with the ACL. Diego Valerian, Portland, carrying the load. I think he was the player of the week. Argentines. Alvaro Madran from Spain and Chicago, still kind of finding his way. Nani in Orlando, older, from Portugal, for Oscar Pereja. Brendan Aronson, Philadelphia Union, young American. Union player, being looked at by Europe. LA Galaxy, Christian Pavone, Argentina. Been called up to Argentina. Diego Rossi, Brian Rodriguez, Uruguayans at LAFC, and there are more. But the point here is that it is a very differing and changing league. Now, to that note, the Dynamo are going to be different now. And we've seen that already with the way Tab Ramos is playing in this 4-3-3, and it's going to be different in the future. And you've seen it different already. And I think you see a more interesting product, frankly, as opposed to the deep defending, counter-attacking Houston Dynamo that we have seen in the past. So the 4-3-3 setup, it's designed to get outside backs into the attack. Means your middle three have to be excellent. That's been Seren, Memo, and Vera. Now, they had a few problems in the first half of the other game, and team got unbalanced and got hit on the counterattack. We saw that. I think that's when you look at this system, even when you look at Liverpool and the way they play it, there are times where it's simply, it's going to break down, and you're going to have to defend, you know, numbers down. You're going to have to quell fires when it comes to counterattacks. I mean, that's why they have Virgil van Dijk there, because the man plays for two people, and he's incredibly athletic. You need a lot of athleticism behind your three in midfield. So I think it is part and parcel of the way the 4-3-3 works. It does mean Mauro Manotas' role is going to be different, playing with his back to goal more, a slower build-up, crosses from outside backs, as opposed to wingers. He's going to have to score his goals like he did when he came off the bench against Sporting, in and around people, or those little peeled-off runs where he had the one-on-one with Dane St. Clair in goal for Minnesota. He's getting chances, but they're going to be different types of chances. He's not going to be running as much full-fledged into open space, although that's still an option with Quintero to him. Interesting. Chicago's the next opponent tomorrow night, Channel 55. Taking a break here. As we go to break, quick word here. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. If you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler or work in a refinery, call the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT. Daspit Law Firm, bilingual, 713-322-HURT. They'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Get the representation you need with John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Houston Dynamo left back. He is Adam Lundquist.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
So we're coming back with one of Sweden's greatest exports here. Well, two of them. Everybody knows this band. They sold more records. Just got to let this play a little bit early. ABBA. All right, we come back with ABBA here on Soccer Matters. We never cease to surprise you, I think, sometimes. Real quick here, just a quick moment for NB Elite Realty. Real estate agents, you're tired of paying commission splits to your brokers. At NB Elite Realty, you get 100% of your hard-earned commission at closing. They offer low transaction fees, free investment training, exceptional support, no hidden fees. Visit the website NB Elite Realty or call 844-444-NBER for more information on how to join the winning team. Don't wait. Start your journey to financial freedom today with NB Elite Realty, NBElitereality.com. Dynamo left back, Adam Lundquist joins us now. Adam, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm glad to have you on the show. Now, were you even born when ABBA was making all this music?
I was not, but I grew up hearing it, and my parents, especially my mom, she loved ABBA, So I'm used to, I know almost all of their songs.
See that? So you knew that song, knowing me and knowing you. The world knows
yeah,
ABBA, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course, of course.
The world knows ABBA. They were the best. All right, so yeah. Listen, thank you for coming on the show tonight. We really appreciate it. Been enjoying watching you play and getting up and down the left side. Let's just first, I want you to recount the story you once told me about how you grew up and at a young age you left your home to pursue the soccer career.
Yeah. Like I mentioned before, like I moved when I was 16 years old. I moved about 3 hours from my hometown to attend a very good academy, or one of the best academies in the country. And I had to live by myself in order to chase the dream to become a professional football player or soccer player. So yeah, that's little what I went through to get where I am today. And I'm really happy I made the step when I was that young. And I think looking back at it, it was one of my best decisions in my life.
Tell me how your parents dealt with that, because that's not easy to send your 16-year-old son off into the world, especially when you're not going to be around him and he's 3 hours away.
No, but they reacted well. I mean, also my girlfriend at the time, we made it work, everything, like, and also the club had everything very well sorted out. Like, we were living very close to the school I was attending, and we had good connections to the trainings. It was very close. We just had to ride bikes. So, I mean, the whole environment that they sold to the parents, to all the players, were really, really good. And the club took real good care of me. And so it was really, as soon as I went there, it was kind of a no-brainer when my parents and I went to visit. And it wasn't really that tough of a decision. And it quickly became another home for me. And like I said, it was one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Now, was it a big piece of that, the educational component of this to your parents? Was that a big part of, okay, it's okay, we see that the soccer development side of it is going to be something good, but your parents, you know, see the educational side that was offered as well. Did that play a big part in it?
Yeah, it did, for sure. It was a whole picture that they kind of showed for my parents that really sold the idea of me living so far away from home. The club and the academy I went to was really, they had really a big focus on the kids finishing school and really doing well so that you could pursue both careers if something would have happened and all that. So it was just the whole picture of having the school matched up with the football or the soccer was really well put together, and the plan was for me to go 3 years there in kind of high school, and that's what we call, yeah, high school, and then train with a professional team on the side and everything. The whole idea made them comfortable and also made me comfortable with having the options to pursue both potential careers. And like I said, it was a really good decision for me, and also a really good plan from the club and from the school. They worked really well together, and yeah, it worked out well in the end.
We're talking to Adam Lundquist. By the way, that was only 10 years ago. It's hard to believe. You're only 26 years of age. That was 10 years ago when you left your family's house to pursue your professional soccer career. What was the name of that academy that you went to?
The academy was the academy of the professional club of EF Elfsborg.
Of Elfsborg, okay. And that's where you played the large portion of your career in Sweden, 7 or 8 years there before getting signed by the Dynamo in 2018. The Swedish First Division, tell me about it and what it's like, and how did your European experience prepare you for Major League Soccer?
The Swedish League, I would say, is I mean, there's some similarities to MLS, but also I would say the biggest difference for me is that the Swedish League is a little bit more tactical and defensive-minded. I would say that it's very, all teams and all players are taught from a very young age to defend and work as a unit. So if you play a Swedish team, I would say it doesn't really matter what level, they're all really good defending in a unit and have a really good shape. And if you can see in MLS, it's a lot more of a transition type of game where it changes a lot from attacking to defending, and some of the players have a lot of freedom not defending and just going forward, and that really invites the game to get really stretched out and very, I would say, entertaining to watch and also very fun to play. So, I mean, that's the differences, I would say. And growing up in Sweden, like I said, I've been taught from a very young age to defend, play as a unit, also playing in a good level. And that really, I feel, playing some really competitive games from a very young age prepared me for any type of adventure I was going to take when I was ready. And I felt when the opportunity came to go here to MLS and kind of reinvent myself and take on a new challenge, I was really ready and I looked forward to the opportunity and also to go over here and play against and with great players from other parts of the world that I wasn't really used to. And like I said, the football was different. I had to adapt, and I saw it as a really fun challenge.
So are a lot of the Swedish fans that followed you at Elfsborg and supported you there, are a lot of them following your career now here in the United States with the Dynamo?
I think so. I mean, I'm not sure all the fans really, but like I know for a fact that there is some Swedish players over here in MLS, so that the Swedish media in general has a pretty good view and updates a lot in the newspapers and whatever. And because the interest is growing over in Sweden for this league, and I think for the interest over in Europe grows also into this league. So I feel like people know what's happening over here, and that goes for me as well.
Adam Lundqvist joining us, Dynamo left back. He's been an iron man, quite frankly. I mean, I could not believe how many games you played a row in this condensed schedule, Adam. It's like you're fit as a fiddle going box to box. Tell me how it's different now under Tab Ramos playing on the left side here and getting forward, because this system that the Dynamo are playing, this 4-3-3, I mean, you are a big part of the attack and bringing width to the team as a left back.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy it. And like I said, I pride myself being ready to play all the games, and I want to contribute and play as many games as I possibly can. And like you said, in this system, I get a lot of freedom going forward, which I like a lot. And I feel like we found a really good chemistry in the team also, with all the different types of attributes that we have, that we complement each other really, really well. I feel like me and Darwin, who plays on the same side, has a really good skill set. And like I said, we combine and we can complement each other very well. I'm more of a guy that likes to stay out wide and makes a lot of runs, and that could create open space up for him. And he's more the player that likes to go inside and create stuff and combine with the attackers. So I feel like with that connection, we create a lot of stuff. And like I say, I'm really excited going forward, and this system fits me perfectly, and I'm really happy. And Tab has done a great job from the start coming in and trying to change and implement his ideas into everything. So I feel like we are growing every day, and that's what you want to do as a football player. You want to go into training, and you want to feel like you're learning new stuff every day. And I feel like that's what we've done this year, and even though it's been a really strange year, but feel like we're taking steps, and we just have to keep believing in the process and show the results, and I'm sure the results will come.
You seem like a lot of the players, just so much more confident. You seem to be enjoying your football. Is that pretty fair to say here? The roles are very defined, your tactics are defined, and everybody just seems to have a healthy respect for each other. I mean, I think even on the road, you just look a far more confident team when you go on the road now.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fair to say. I think that what Tab has been trying to put into our minds is that we want to be a type of team. We want to play the game on our terms, and doesn't matter win or lose, we want to play the game our way. And we want to become a winning team, and that means to And also, what I like is that we want to play, like I said, we want to play our type of games. We don't want to go up against team and try to adapt too much. Of course, you have to adapt to teams you play against. There's small stuff you need to think about. But more importantly, you have to have your own type of game, your own style. That with that comes confidence, and with confidence comes good performances, and with that comes points. And I think that it's been a really positive change. And I think going forward, we feel more and more comfortable every day. So, yeah, I mean, like you say, we feel good about ourselves and the way we play. And we just want to keep, it's like you say, there's a bunch of respect between all the players. We know what's expected from one another. And as long as we have that, we can only keep growing. And that's what's really exciting.
Adam, how competitive are the training sessions? Because I'm assuming they're really competitive, because it looks like now the team and the roster has gotten deeper, and obviously we aren't able to come down and watch training sessions or anything because of all the COVID protocol and regulations. But tell us a little bit, give us a glimmer into, you know, how competitive these training sessions have been.
I feel like it's really been we've added quality to almost every position, and we have, like you said, a very deep squad with talent on every position, and also we have different kinds of players that gives us different kind of things and attributes. And I think that you need that in a team. You need players that are ready to come in and make a difference, and also have the skill set for it. And I think that the trainings have been really, really good. I also feel like coming back from all this lockdown and all that stuff, a lot of the players, all of us, have come back and not really taking anything for granted. We're all hungry, and we're all just happy to be back playing. So I feel like that's also been a big aspect for this year. And like I said, there's a lot of players that are taking steps every day, and that makes it competitive. And that's what we need to be a winning team. You need to have more than just 11 guys playing. You need to have all the players pushing to be in that starting 11, and that drives everyone to be better every day. So I feel like that's a good recipe for a good team.
Talking to Houston Dynamo left back Adam Lundqvist, has been outstanding for the Dynamo this year, really logging a lot of box-to-box running and doing a lot of good things. Chicago Fire, they play a little bit more direct. This means there could be a lot of bypassing of midfield and, you know, target play and headers and second balls that have to be won. Does your role change at all against the Chicago Fire based on the way that they play?
Yeah, of course. I mean, defensively, like you say, they're a little bit more direct, so you have to take that into consideration and have a real, like, now we've done our scouting, so we know what they're about and we know what they want to do. So I mean, we have different types of tactical adjustments that you need to do, and also from a position standpoint, you have to be a little bit more cautious with the ball coming in behind the back line, so we have to be ready for that. But also, I feel like I said before, going and play away, doesn't matter which team we play, most of our focus is on how we are supposed to play and continue to grow within ourselves. And I think even though we're playing a completely new team and an Eastern Conference team, this is a good chance for us to go there and just show that home or away, it doesn't really matter. We're still going to be the same team, and you have to beat us. And we really want to take control of the game from the start, and that's what we're all about.
Albert Elise has moved on to Portugal, and I know he said his goodbyes to the team, and you've been through a lot with Albert. Just some thoughts on Albert going to Portugal and maybe some of the conversation you had with him before he left.
To be honest, I'm really excited for him to go, and I've always known that he had the ambition ever since the first day I arrived here. I saw his quality. I know what he can do, and all of the fans and all of the people around Houston Dynamo knows what he's capable of. So I'm really excited just to see what he can bring to a team in that league. Also, I feel like he can do a lot of damage and score a lot of goals. And most of all, like the conversation has been like he's a really humble guy, and he's been waiting patiently for his chance to go. And like I said, I wish him all the best. And I know everyone in the club do that as well. Like he's given us so much. So this was only it was about timing and the right decision. And I think from both the club and the player, I mean, it was a good deal and a good timing for everything. And I really wish him all the best. He's a good guy and incredible player. So, I'm excited for his future.
Adam, you've been capped by the Swedish national team. You've played in the Olympics. You played in three games at the 2016 Summer Olympics. What was one of your fondest memories of playing in the Olympics? Because that's rarefied air. Not everybody does these things and plays an Olympic game. So tell me about that experience and what sticks out mostly in your mind from playing at an Olympics.
Looking back at it, it was a lot of stuff that really, I have really good memories from that trip. I mean, it was amazing just to be selected in the first place, but then also just I think the first game was the first game, and one of our strikers scored the first goal, and I remember like the whole feeling we had within the team and just the pride. I know we had one of my nicest memories was like we had before the game, we have this kind of inspirational video where one of our guys in the training staff had put together like a whole video with clips from our home country saying that you are all the players that represent all of this. And I remember I got goosebumps, and I still get goosebumps seeing, like listening to that song that was playing on the video and all that stuff. And just the whole experience being there, playing against world-class players, and also see such a big sporting event so close was unreal. And it was a really good time. And also I learned a lot and I grew as a player. Just good memories, really. I was kind of disappointed that we didn't go through to the group from the group stage, but still a great experience.
Adam, thanks for coming on the program. By the way, I hear you're a big Liverpool fan. You know there is a big Liverpool supporters group here in Houston that goes to Hugh O'Connor's pub.
Really?
Is that true? Are you a huge Liverpool fan, you and your father, I see?
Yeah, I am. I've been for a while. I blame my dad for that. So I've been through some tough times, but now I kind of I can't complain because right now they're doing really well. So but I have to look that up if there's a fan club. I really have to. I need to see what that's about.
Yeah, it's called Houston Liverpool FC, and they're a bunch of great guys. It's Hugh O'Connor's pub. By the way, that left back, Robertson?
Yeah.
Maybe we compare you and Robertson.
That would be, I mean, like I said, I think for me, that's one of the players I want to implicate my game from. I mean, such a good player. I mean, I can't stop watching him play. Him playing and Liverpool playing, I mean, makes me want to play like every time. So, but yeah, I wouldn't mind to be compared to him. I really enjoy that.
Andrew Robertson, the left back. Talk about a great pair of outside backs that get forward, just like the Dynamo were trying to do in the 4-3-3. Well, listen, thanks so much for coming on, Adam. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your time. We wish you the best of luck against Chicago tomorrow. I know you're flying out in the morning, so we better let you get your rest.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. That's the one and only Adam Lundqvist. Has played for Sweden, Elfsborg in Sweden, and, of course, outstanding so far this year in 2020. He has been a real fun player to watch. All right, Glenn Davis here. One of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask. They don't all offer the same comfort and protection. By the way, I wore my Boomer Naturals mask down to do TV at BBVA Stadium when the Dynamo played Minnesota United. I recommend the Boomer Naturals 3-layer comfortable, breathable mask. It's enhanced with nanotechnology. Nano silver can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to your nose and mouth. They also offer nano silver neck gaiters. I think AJ was saying Fred likes the neck gaiter. Available in sizes for adults and children. They're in stock. They ship to you fast. You order now at boomernaturals.com. Use promo code Davis. Save 20%. That's code Davis at boomernaturals.com. Get your mask. Get a good one. Boomer Naturals. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got Tony Miola, color analyst for the Chicago Fire, former U.S. international goalkeeper, Hall of Fame member. Tony's coming up next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsors. They are the reason we get on the air. Well, the next guest, Tony Miola, 2000 MLS Goalkeeper of the Year. He is a member of the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame, has played in World Cups. You name it, he's done it in the game of soccer. Also the host on Sirius XM Counterattack, along with Brian Dunseth. And another unknown factor about Tony, actually a very good drummer, too. We'll talk to him about drumming in a minute. Tony Miola joins us now. Tony, thanks for coming on. We got Tony?
Yeah, Glenn, you got me. You hear me?
Ah, there he is. There's Tony. Okay. Now I hear you, Tony.
Pleasure to hear your voice. Now I'm glad to hear mine.
Yeah, absolutely. I was panicking there for a second, but we heard the Tony Miola voice. So just quickly, I mentioned that you had a band called Mushmouth, because I remember there was an MLS event in the Port Authority or something. It was like bowling, and I remember your band was playing in that, and I remember watching your band before I went down to the Ritz on 11th Street. So tell me about the drumming, how you got the band together.
That's funny. Yeah, so we did a bunch of MLS events. We actually went down and did the Orlando All-Star Game, the one that kind of rained out, and we did it indoor. So the band was, we all kind of had an affinity for instruments. The drums were mine, and all the guys in the band, they still play, but I'm out of New Jersey now, so I only catch them, like, for special events. But yeah, it was all guys that I played soccer with and baseball with in high school, and they just love a good weekend out playing some cover songs.
Yeah, it's awesome. No, you guys were good that night. I remember watching it because I'm a big music
Thanks.
Guy. So that was
Lexi,
fun. I was like,
Lexi,
I didn't know you were a good drummer. Yeah.
What's that?
I didn't know you were such a good drummer till I ran into you that night. So that was pretty interesting.
That's funny. Yeah, it was a good night. Yep.
All right, so let's talk a few things. I mean, you were on Sirius before jumping on the show here, gratefully for us. What was a big talking point today with you and Dunny?
A couple things today. One, obviously, U.S. men's national team with no camp coming up. That's a big talking point. Of course, the more you get out of October window, now they're out of the October window. If they're out of the November window, which is a high possibility, when you start thinking about World Cup qualifying and kind of where it all fits in, Greg Berhalter and his side have, you're running out of dates, basically, right? You're running out of dates for when you can get the national team together. And look, this is not an exclusive problem for the U.S. men's national team. I think where it becomes a little bit touch and go is the U.S. When you look at the players that are playing in Europe right now, the U.S. probably has more players than anyone in the CONCACAF region. Mexico, of course, Raul Jimenez, who plays at Wolves, and a few other guys that are overseas, but I think they would get hit the most with what's happening. So as we all know, right, we live in an odd time, and no one really knows when bans are going to be lifted and when teams are going to sort of turn their players over in order to give them an opportunity to travel out of Europe and come play with a national team in the CONCACAF region. So that was obviously one big point. The other big talking point at the end was, Sergiño Dest, and the looks like the move to Barcelona is going to happen here by the end of the year. And then of course, Gareth Bale and his agent saying that Real Madrid – should have kissed the floor that he walked on. That's So well, we've always, and I'm sure you've said the same thing. We've always gotten the idea, Glenn, that the Gareth Bale story at Real Madrid, we haven't even scratched the surface of what will probably come out.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one. I do like that one. We're talking to Tony Meola, Hall of Famer, former U.S. international. So let's talk about Chicago, because having watched some of their games, there's always that nice Eastern European feel to the Chicago Fire. It seems to be a team that's good on the counterattack. It seems to be a team that can bypass midfield and play pretty direct. How about you telling us a little bit about the Fire, what we would expect against the Houston Dynamo tomorrow night?
Well, as far as the style of play, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a very European look. So they started the season, it was a 4-3-3. They went down to MLS's back, and they experimented with a 3-5-2. And Rafa Wicki, who's the head coach, had talked about that he'd like to see a team that's very flexible. But since coming out of MLS's back, they've been in this 4-2-3-1. And I think it probably suits the personnel in this group about as good as any. And it's funny, you know, they're in this very similar situation to the Houston Dynamo, a little bit of transition. And Albert Elise, who's a big part of that, now is gone out of the group. But they're still in transition with trying to figure out, you know, how Tab wants to play. I think they're still here in transition with Rafa Wicki and what he expects and how he wants to approach things. And there's been games, and I just saw a stat. I was looking it up earlier. The two teams are tied for, like, the sixth most chances created by teams in the league, and I thought that was really, really interesting. They have probably underachieved based on the way that they've played in games. I mean, this past weekend against Orlando, I called the game. I mean, you and I, we've seen a lot of games. We've called games together. This was a really odd game that it ended up being 4-1. They had two goals called back for VAR, one which I still don't understand the rule, but of course, I think a lot of us could say that about some of the rules. I know I'm not the only one that feels that way. But all in all, I think they've played well enough to be in a better position than they're in. And things just haven't gone the way. I mean, post the crossbar this weekend, I mean, they could have, that game this weekend could have ended up 5-4. But of course, Glenn, as you know, when things are going your way, you know, the ball hits the post and it goes in the net. When things aren't going your way, the ball hits the post and it bounces out to midfield, you know, and that's just kind of the way it's gone for them. And I feel like, you know, if you have any baseball fans, they'll know when hitters are in slumps, it's sometimes some seeing eye hit or some broken bat single, and all of a sudden you feel like you're out of your slump, you know, and I feel like it's going to come for them. 17 changes this year to this team, 18 with 17 changes at the beginning of the year. The young center back, Colombian kid, Tehran, who still has not been able to suit up, of course, you know, P1 visas and all of that stuff. He would be 18. And it's really difficult to think that that's all going to gel. But there comes a point where you have to get away from, hey, we have 18 changes because we're in a results-based business. So there's a fine line, and I know everyone has a different threshold for that. You and I that call a game, we would understand it one way. And if you're a fan who's paying for tickets, and of course they're not going to the games now here. I know you got some fans in Houston, but you know, as a fan of the club, you maybe have a little less patience, right? Because you want wins right now. So I understand both sides of it, but it's a pretty organized team. I still think they're just kind of figuring themselves out right now. But I see this group of players, and I don't know that I don't know what it's going to look like this year. We all know that the league is crazy, and this year no one can really tell what's going to happen. But I think it's a group of players that, as a whole, they can compete for sure.
Tony Meola joining us. Tony, before we let you go, I want you to comment, because I know you've worked with a lot of these young players, and you and I had the opportunity, I think we were calling some under-20 stuff and under-17 stuff, and you've worked with a lot of these young players now that are making it happen in Europe, you know, the McKinneys and all these guys when you were in youth national team camps. Just talk about how exciting this is and kind of the threshold we're at here now with players on Juventus, with players on Dortmund, with players on Chelsea.
Glenn, I'm bullish on this young group of players, and I don't say that now. I said this 3 years ago, and I think, you know, as you mentioned, we called games, and I was with the youth national teams for 5 years under Tab, and Omid Namazi, your assistant coach, and we kind of saw this coming with some of these players, and I think we will be a good team in 2022, but I really think our national team, and again, I've said this now for 2-3 years, I really think this national team is built for 2026. And boy, what a good time that would be for that group to come together. And I've always said for the last couple of years, since Christian Pulisic came onto the scene, he became our best player, I always said the best thing that can happen to this national team is that Christian Pulisic is not our best player in 2026 or even 2022, because that would have meant that more guys have developed, more guys have gotten that exposure, and more guys are playing at that level for the national team.
Incredibly exciting times. Tony, as always, thank you for coming on, not only a Hall of Famer, but also the drummer for Mushmouth. And we'll make sure people forget that. Thank you for coming on, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Anytime. Yep.
All right, that's Tony Meola. You can also catch him on Sirius with Brian Dunseth. They do a counterattack. Nice banner back and forth and knowledge between Tony and Brian. We appreciate him coming on. Tony will be on the call tomorrow night for the Chicago Fire with Tyler Terrence on their broadcast. And, of course, here in Houston, we're Channel 55. Eddie Robinson and I with a call down here. River Plate right now is up 2-0, 29th minute in the Copa Libertadores. Which, man, you got to love the Copa Libertadores. It's mano y mano. Just amazing tournament. Much different than the homogenized and super clean and unbelievable UEFA Champions League. All right, we'll take a break. Big day tomorrow in MLS on Wednesday in Major League Soccer. A big thank you to Tony Meola. All right, stay with us. Coming up, Dario Sala, who played for River Plate.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.